Now, our other son, younger son, Ben.
So firstly, thank you to everyone for coming. It's terribly gratifying to see so many people here bursting out of this little marquee, which we thought might be huge. When Liz was a child, she was always remembered fondly the holidays she took. She remembered the long journeys across country, going one route to the place and taking another route back, and the fond family adventures they'd have. And she was determined to create such memories for her children. So from the time, from my earliest memories, when I look back on and remember Liz, I'll remember the great holidays we took, which when I was younger consisted of long drives across the country. Holidays in the Bigelow household would consist of a destination, a date, but we'd pretty much improvise as we went along. Liz was often fond of saying, "Oh, we'll make it up as we go along." And usually we did. So we drove across Australia and America, right around Tasmania. We've seen large portions of the country from the side of a car. And we camped on the side of a road and just occasionally stopped when the mood took us. And on one trip, to demonstrate this ability of improvisation, we went to Sydney and we wanted to see an opera in the Sydney Opera House and not just see the opera house. But we hadn't packed any formal clothes, and when we were buying tickets, we hadn't actually hadn't actually time to go back to the campsite and get changed into anything else. So we asked about the dress code and we were told that there wasn't any formal dress standard, and I said, "Well, unfortunately I've only got this top and it's got a big blob of tomato sauce on it." So Liz, undeterred by this, and went with me, and we bought this cheap souvenir t-shirt, which was clean but didn't have any other redeeming qualities. And she said, "Now you've got a clean shirt, you're ready to go to the opera." And we did. And Liz particularly enjoyed seeing the very highly strung upper class, top crust of Sydney, in some considerable discomfort as we strolled by in our shorts, t-shirts and sandals. There's something about her background coming from that made her enjoy seeing rich people feel very uncomfortable in her presence. Liz had learnt to swim very well as a child, and on holidays she liked to throw herself in the deep end. On one trip in Kaikoura, which is located at the northern end of the South Island of New Zealand, there are many things you can do, and as a young man of about 16, 17, 18, I wanted to go diving in a cage and see the sharks. Now, other mothers might happily sort of go along the boat and just watch their children enjoy themselves, but Liz decided she would come along and do this as well. And part of doing this particularly dangerous activity involved mastering the use of diving equipment, which is actually very difficult when you haven't done it. It's very counterintuitive. You're surrounded by water and you're able to breathe, and to clear your mask you've got to hold it on the top of your head and breathe in through your mouth and out through your nose, which also doesn't come naturally. But despite Liz's difficulties in mastering this, it took her quite many goes at practicing and rehearsing. She was determined to enjoy herself and determined to join us in this wonderful experience. And Liz's determination ensured that she had a good time and was amazed at how beautiful such a horrific creature could be. So another great skill of Liz's was to make friends whilst she was being adventurous. One summer, our whole family, John, myself and Stephen with Liz, went whitewater rafting down the Franklin River in southwest Tasmania. It's a beautiful part of the countryside if you ever get a chance to go there. And I'm sure I'm going to go back there and I'll remember this trip and remember Liz there. And she was the only woman on this whole trip. She was the only woman there. But she was able to fit in and mingle amongst the group like she'd known them for years. But she really became one of the guys when she got knocked out of the raft and swam down Newlands Cascade. Now, this was the most dangerous rapid that we actually rode down. There were others that were more dangerous that we actually walked around on the shore. But this was the most dangerous rapid that we actually rode down. And Liz did almost all of it outside the raft. She bashed her head twice, got sucked into the whirlpool, and yet still hung on to her paddle at the very end of the end of it. Don't let these stories give you the wrong impression. Liz was not adverse to relaxation on holidays. One trip to Cairns, she decided she didn't want to cook whilst on holiday. A fairly standard sort of thing. But rather than just state that she didn't want to do any cooking and that she wanted to eat out every night, she decided that this needed to be an illness that had to have a name. So she called it Chef's Block. Similar to writer's block, except it means you can't cook. And this transported itself from Cairns to Melbourne. Some days after she'd had a bad day at work, she would come home and say, "My day's been so awful, I've developed chef's block." And so we'd eat out for the night, or we'd get some takeaway, or in some rare cases, I cooked. Another example of Liz being able to just jump into the deep end was when she and John went to Orpheus Island. She was at this time battling cancer. She was feeling very unwell, but she was determined that she would go snorkeling on one of the reefs nearby. And to go snorkeling on Orpheus Island, to do it properly, a boat takes you out and drops you, and you've got to swim back. And I don't know about others, but when I'm sick with stomach pain and when I've got diarrhea, swimming and snorkeling are not things I'd like to do. But Liz was determined that this was something she'd like to look back on and say that she went to this beautiful coral reef. Now, John mentioned the trip to Antarctica, and 2 weeks beforehand, the oncologist Rick de Boer was not sure that Liz would be able to go. And just to give you an idea of her discussions with doctors and her how she showed her determination and her great will to enjoy life to the full, this conversation occurred between her and the oncologist. "Oncologist, in your present condition, I'm not sure if you'll survive the flight." And then, "Liz, well, what's the worst that could happen? I'm dying anyway." "Oncologist, well, is anyone else going with you?" "Yes, Liz, yes. Both John and my son are going with me." "Well, they might be a bit distressed." "And there are other passengers on board the flight who might be a bit distressed too." To which Liz said, "Well, if I'm dead, what do I care about the other passengers?" She did recover a little bit in the fortnight prior to the trip, and she did go. And she had a great time. It was a tough flight. 14 hours in the air is never easy on anyone, no matter where you're going. But she was determined to go, and despite the pain and the difficulties involved, she enjoyed herself a lot. All these trips are just sort of scratching the surface of was a complete character picture of Liz. But I'll always remember her bravery, her willingness to throw herself into the deep end, hope she could swim sometimes, to to think about what you would like to have done, to look back and to be sure that despite all obstacles put in your way, that you did achieve everything that you set yourself to do, and to not make any excuses about it. Liz, I'll miss you greatly, and I'll always have fond memories of you. Yeah, so,
thank you.